It's time for Buff Talk here on 99.9 The Rock. A chance to hear from the coaches and athletes from Garden City High School. Let's go live to Old Chicago in Garden City and join the voice of the Buffaloes, Cal Friedman.
Welcome back to Buff Talk. It is December the 4th. Hope everybody's doing well. Happy Monday to you all. Hopefully your weeks have all gotten off to a great start. Cal Friedman here for 99.9 The Rock here. Welcome back to Buff Talk. We welcome in bowling head coach Kip Nichols to open up the show. Coach, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing well. It's good to be here.
Coach, thank you so much for coming on. You just finished co-ed, and you were telling me just about how crazy that co-ed state championship was. Can you fill in the listeners about it?
Sure. Okay, so we just finished unified bowling season, which is a cooperative agreement between Kansas Special Olympics and Kansas State High School Activity Association, where we make up teams of student athletes with special needs and our participating athletes from our regular program, and in this case with us. And we bowl in a modified Baker format, with most of the emphasis being placed on our athletes with special needs. And we went off to the regional event the first week in November, and come away with a regional runner-up, and knew that Goddard Eisenhower was going to be the team to beat when we went to the state tournament the next week in Topeka. Went up there and practiced the day before the tournament. Felt like we'd bowled pretty well at practice, and then really felt like we fell on our face during the tournament. We were about 50 or 60 pins lower than we had been the day prior in practice, and we bowl a six-game set, and it's all scratch. There's no handicap involved. It's what you bowl is what you get. And so we got into the tournament. We were consistent, but we didn't bowl great, but we didn't bowl bad. And I saw some teams shooting in the 190s, which is a pretty good score for the unified format. I told the guys, I said, look, you know, I don't know. If we make top five, we'll be real lucky. And was talking to the Liberal assistant coach after the tournament was done and walking around looking, and I'm like, well, there's not really all that high of scores out here. Maybe we were better off than I thought we were. And the Liberal assistant coach, they had shot 195 one game. I said, so how'd you guys finish? And they said 849. I'm like, well, whoa, we shot 856. How's that? How is it we beat them after they had good games like that? But we sit there and they started reading from 20 up. There were 20 teams at the state tournament. And they got to the top five, and they were still 30 or 40 pins away from where we were. And we knew we were in front of Liberal. And as they kept announcing, when they got to third place and they announced one of the Olathe schools, I'm like, oh, my goodness. We just won a state championship. How is this possible? So Liberal was the state runner-up. And hats off to Coach Potter down there. You know, he took over the program, the competitive program and the unified program a couple years ago, and has just done a fabulous job promoting bowling and the culture of competitive bowling in Liberal. And so they were super excited, because that's the first kind of trophy of any kind that they've brought to Liberal for any kind of the bowling programs. And so our four kids, we had Caden Strasser and Karsten Nichols and Skyler Ratatakoon and Chance Orozco with us. And they were so excited and shocked. We were all shocked. We just had no idea that we were going to pull that off. But it was a special time for me. I work in functional special education. So when Drew Tone, our former athletic director, brought this to us 2 years ago and said, hey, look, we would like to start a unified program. Are you interested? I'm like, I am all over this. This is right in my wheelhouse. First couple seasons, my assistant coach for the competitive program, Bethany Howard, helped me. This year, Charity Holguin stepped in and just did a fabulous job helping me keep everybody kind of moving in the right direction. I sometimes liken herding bowlers around like herding cats, because there's no right or wrong way to do it. You just kind of do it and hope everything works out good. But she did a fabulous job keeping our program organized and doing the behind the scenes things while I took care of the stuff on the lanes. And so we've just been super happy, and we're still kind of trying to figure out how we pulled that off, but we did. And it made us one of the only two schools here in the state of Kansas now that have won state championships in all three different bowling divisions. We won a boys state championship in 2016. Mm-hmm. We won a girls state championship in 2017. And now we've got this first unified title in 2023. So we're just pretty excited about it all and looking forward now that we're moving from the unified season into the competitive season. You mentioned we just finished our tryout process this last week, and we're very excited about what we see, especially on the boys' side, but we see some promise on the girls' side, and we're looking forward to getting to the lanes with them on January 2nd when we start practice and seeing what we can come up with.
Let's dive into that boys' team for a second, because you have some talent in KJ Burns. He was whack bowler of the year as a sophomore last year. What's so impressive about the way that he works?
You know, he comes from a long line of bowlers. His older brother, Dylan, bowled for me in the late 2000s and 2010. Never made a state tournament, oddly enough, but went on to the University of Kansas, helped start a bowling intramural program there, competitive program there, competed there, and bowls on the regional PBA tour from time to time now, based out of Wichita. And so, you know, KJ watched his older brother growing up be a bowler, and it was all he ever wanted to do. And he was good early. Mm-hmm. And as a coach of both of them, I could see that KJ was going to far surpass what Dylan had ever done. And he just puts so much time and effort into his game. He just doesn't make many mistakes. And when he does, he sees it, he understands it, and he corrects it.
Okay.
So that's probably what makes him so good. That, and he just doesn't get flack too much. You know, he if he makes a mistake, he lets it go and he moves on. And, you know, he just does such a nice job of continuing to work on his game to become better. And when you have bowlers like that, you can't help but feel blessed to have kids like that in your program. And right now we have six guys that have all the same philosophy in mind, and that's getting that next state championship for Garden City High School.
Let me ask that then. Can it be difficult sometimes for some bowlers when the pressure gets highest to keep their cool?
No. And part of that is we kind of vet them through the season in our rankings process, because we put them in some pressurized situations during ranked days and then when we go to the tournaments in Wichita. So they see pressure. They see pressure several times during the season, and so they're ready to respond to it when we get to the big show, and they always know how to handle that.
And as far as the girls' team goes, you mentioned that at the end of last season when they qualified for states, it was a pleasant surprise that they, you know, played as well as they did later on the year. Can you elaborate on why?
Well, you know, again, we were just surprised. They were not a team that I would have originally thought would make the state tournament. But as the season moved along, they bowled for each other. And that's the most important thing. You have to bowl as a team. And I've always preached this philosophy of being number three in the program. You put your teammates first. You put your team first. You put your teammates second. And then yourself, finally, as the number three. And if you can do that, if you can buy into that and do that, good things are always going to happen. Because you're bowling for everybody but yourself. And your own game's going to come up for that, because you're trying hard to compete with everybody else, and you have a common goal in mind. And so those girls kind of bought into that, and when they got to regionals last year, showed it and got themselves a state berth. And so regardless of what happened once we got to state, we were winners because we made it, and we didn't anticipate that. And so It was a great time to see those girls grow. It was good to watch them enjoy that success and go on to that level. And we were happy with whatever they did, and they were good. So,
how big was it for both teams to make state last year?
Well, it's always great to get both teams in. And you know, at times you can think you can take it for granted because, like we were talking a little bit earlier, we've been to the state tournament now the last 12 or 13 years running. And so it's kind of a common thing for us now, but that doesn't come without work and sacrifice. And so anytime we get to take both teams, it's special because We love to have our student athletes there, showing everybody what Western Kansas has, and then letting them know, you know, we're out here, and we know how to bowl just like the rest of you.
I want to dive a little bit more into you as a coach, because you told me when you got here and you first started up that bowling club, you kind of came up with a formula to help kind of figure out what you wanted in this team. Can you elaborate a little more on what that formula is?
Sure. So first couple seasons, we kind of floundered in the water a little bit because, you know, I'd see a kid get hot in practice. I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm going to put him in. And he'd fall flat on his face in the match. And I just kicked myself. I'm like, we got to do something. We got to be better than this. We got to do something that rules out the flute factor. So I come up with this mathematical equation, which I have used ever since then. I call it my rank equation. And so what we do is during practice times, we gather score. And we tell them, today is a score collection day. We're going to bowl these games and we're going to collect this score. And then all of our match play scores we collect. And so on three times during the season, we have what's called rank day. Mm-hmm. And so we take that practice average and we multiply it times 3.5, 35% basically is what it becomes of the composite. The match play average becomes 35% of that composite. So now we have 70% of this composite number that they're creating. And then on rank day, each of those three games that they bowl on rank day are 10% of that composite number, totaling 100. So when we plug all this into our spreadsheet, as we go live data, we get this number generated and we rank our kids based off that numerical value. Once we went to that, wins just started rolling in because we didn't have flukes anymore. We had kids that were performing on every facet of the program. If a kid's not performing well in one or the other, it shows right then and there. And it makes them work harder in that pressure situation. And we have seen over the years, kids get in that 5 and 6 spot and that 7 and 8 spot and battle to get that varsity position as 5 and 6s. And we've seen kids that perennially have went into the rank, maybe ready to take one, and they couldn't take the pressure of the rank day to make it. And that's exactly why we do it, because I don't want kids that can't handle the pressure when the chips are down and we're in a tournament situation and we need good performance out of them. I want kids that can take that pressure and run with it. And this rank system helps us vet kids out that can't handle that pressure. They're great kids, don't get me wrong. But we're in the business of winning championships. We've got 15 or 16 WAC championships. We've got a state championship on each side. We've had regional championships, and we get those because we have kids that can perform under pressure. And so I just shared this formula with Moore, the golf coach, and he's gonna adapt it, he thought, for this next season and use it for golf. And I think it could be used across any program where there's data that's derived from the performance. Mm-hmm. And so you know, I wish him well. I hope Mitch does well with it. I hope it helps his program. I know it's helped ours. And you know, I've shared it with other coaches here in the conference, and I hope they use it. And if they do, then they're going to be a lot more competition for us when we get to be on the lanes with them.
Yeah, I like that. It's a really cool mindset to have. I want to ask you a little bit more about your coaching strategy. How do you like to coach these young student athletes up?
Well, you know what? I like to drive them. I am a competitive person by nature. I don't like to lose. But if I'm going to lose, I'm going to lose with grace. But I've always believed in, if you put everything out there on the line, you're going to be rewarded, first off. If you are a true student of the game and really want to get better, you will get better. And I always tell them, 98% of the game is played on this side of that foul line. 98%. The 2% that happens once you release the ball, that's something you can't really control after you've released the ball. So you got to do everything right on this side. And you know, I'm going to be there. I always tell them, I've said this for years, I'm the ugly cheerleader. I'm just the ugly cheerleader during bowling season. because a lot of these kids end up in the varsity program. They don't just bowl during my high school season. They are what I like to call bowling alley rats, man. They're there all the time. My own kids, they're at the bowling centers all the time bowling. So, you know, what I get is I get to reap the reward of what they've put into their game during the other 10 months of the season. I just get to reap the reward and help them make a few adjustments. And some of them, I just get to watch. I mean, KJ Burns is a great example. We talked a little bit about him a little bit ago. You know, this kid was the highest average bowler in the state of Kansas last year with a 231 average. And that doesn't – I mean, that's impressive. But when you add into the fact that he bowls in houses like Great Bend and Sublette, where we have natural wood conditions, and Liberal, where the shot's been difficult for years – When you bowl in all these different houses and you still maintain that kind of average, that's ridiculous. I mean, it's just ridiculous. I could never do that personally. And, you know, in my day, I was a pretty good bowler. And so, you know, have kids like that in the program. And then Caden Strasser, our senior this year, he, you know, he's our lone two-hander, and he does a nice job. He has learned so much about the game over the last 3 years. That now he's become a pretty solid bowler. And the biggest thing for him is what he has learned not to do physically. He's got the mental game down now. It used to be if he made a couple of bad shots, you probably lost him for the rest of that game. Now he works through it. He moves forward. And he he makes the corrections he needs to make, and he moves on. And he gets it right back in where it needs to be. And so when you get kids that get that maturity about their game and what they're doing, you can't help but be happy and know that you're going to do well in your program.
Handsome face like yourself can't refer to yourself as the ugly cheerleader, though. You got to give yourself some credit.
Well, you know, it starts in the two bowling centers we have here, Hard Rock Lanes, Garden Bowl. Those proprietors 18 years ago made a fiscal commitment to support Garden City High School bowling, and they have done that in spades all these years. They provide us with good conditions to bowl on all the time. They're always giving us fresh oil to practice on, and we really just get whatever we need to be successful. And you know, we have youth programs at both houses, and they offer discounted rates for our high school kids to practice as much as they want. And truly, they build the bowlers. I'm the ugly cheerleader for a couple months. You know, I corral them in and get them on the lanes and do the paperwork and say good job and we're there. But without my bowling centers and a great example of that is this past Saturday, Hard Rock Lanes hosted a pro day, a pro camp. They brought in Wesley Lowe and AJ Johnson. Now, these are both guys that are well up on the PBA tour right now, bowling all over the United States in these big tournaments. And they come to Garden City and hosted this 7-hour camp on Saturday. And, you know, they made it very affordable for high school kids to get out there. I sent both my sons, and the kids come home that day from the camp and they were excited because they learned some things. And then my older son, who's a junior this year and bowls in the program, he said, oh yeah. And he told me to do this. And I said, this sounds vaguely familiar. I think you've heard this before, but maybe you just don't like it because it's coming from me and not them. I said, but I don't want to say I told you so, son, but this is kind of how it is. He's yeah. Whatever, Dad. All right. So, when you have bowling facilities doing these kind of things to promote the game in your community, you can't help but be good. I hear coaches from the Wichita area and other areas of the state, and they're like, oh, well, we only get a couple days of practice a week, and we only get X amount of minutes per day, and we don't get scores, and we never get fresh oil. And I'm like, oh, man, that sucks. I couldn't imagine trying to run a good program without the right tools, and the bowling centers here give us the right tools.
So to close about one last thing, we've been alluding to tryouts for the last couple of times. Your first open or meets, I should say, is on January the 6th, I believe. That's correct?
Yep.
Okay,
yeah,
got it. So what can we expect from these teams this year?
You know, I told you this before we went on the air today, but anything less than a state championships on the boys' side is going to be a little bit of a disappointment for me because these guys are just that good. I see them running the table. You know, we have this first tournament, it's the All-Kansas Invitational. It's a 12-game Baker format. You know, I see us running it. I see us going back 3 weeks later to the Great Plains High School Invitational, which is a dual format tournament. It's an all-day long affair for each, the boys and the girls. And I think they have every good chance to bring the cup home from that. We've done it a couple times before. It's time again. These guys are that good. I don't know how good they are yet. They shot 10-25 in tryouts the other day, one game. That's averaging between about 255 across four bowlers. And we threw out a 225 score. I don't know how good they are because the score we threw out, oddly enough, was KJ Burns. And so, you know, when you get that kind of production across the board, the sky's the limit. Now, the girls, we got a couple of returning starters and some girls that have been off and on the varsity lineup. And so they're kind of an unknown quantity this year. I know Great Bend will be hard to beat because they've got a fully established team that they've been together now a couple of years. And so, you know, they'll be tough. They were our competition last year in the conference. Dodge gave us everything we wanted to do. But I think as this group of girls grows, their enthusiasm will kind of shine through, and I think we'll be okay.
Well, makes me excited to get out to Lanes, watch these boys team play. That is Coach Kit Nichols. Thank you so much for joining tonight.
Oh, thanks for having us out tonight.
We'll take a break here on Buff Talk. Come right back with wrestling here from Old Chicago. It's Buff Talk here on 99.9 The Rock.